Good morning and welcome to the Grace Hour broadcast. It is brought to you every Sunday morning at this time by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. This morning we have as our guest once again, Reverend Renard White, and he is the pastor of the Tower Hill Missionary Church in Kingston. As always, we invite you to write to us for comment or counsel. Our address is the Grace R Box 123, Kingston 8. We'd like to thank the Hopewell Missionary Church, located on Zion Lane in Hanover, for sponsoring today's broadcast. Reverend Devon Madden and his congregation invites you to worship with them at their morning service at 10. Do stay with us in a moment, this morning's message.
Good morning. We have much for which to be thankful today. So let us count our blessings and give God thanks, for He's a good God. Allow me to read the text for today's thoughts. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that He was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. So Jesus used this illustration. If you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others and go out and search for the lost one until you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrived, you would call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. This is the word of God. As we continue our discussion this morning, we're going to attempt to summarize the developments in the remainder of this book of St. Luke's Gospel. Remember, we began by saying that we are on a journey accompanying the Lord on His final journey to Jerusalem. Where was He headed? Jerusalem, of course. Why was He going there for this final time? To die. He was going to lay down His life, not gladly, but willingly, as the ultimate price for the sins of all of the human family, because all had sinned against God. While our study began in chapter 12, this final journey is indicated by chapter 9, verse 51. The text says, and I quote, "As the time drew near for His return to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem," end of quote. As we have seen in chapter 12, Jesus speaks first of all to His followers, but also to His other hearers. His advice, encouragement, assurance relates to the conduct, character, and commitment required for a life which is truly profitable. This is the life which pleases God. This is the life which confronts challenges and conquers adversities. He told them, 1, avoid hypocrisy. 2, don't be fearful. 3, don't be greedy for material things. And 4, avoid worry, because it solves nothing. Then He offers as a rationale the fact that at a future date, He would return to the earth at the end of the age. Then each person will be rewarded as is appropriate, while some will be punished for their disobedience and disregard for God. The other matters dealt with by Christ as He proceeds on His journey are topics which engage people's interest, whatever their status or station in life. Difficult issues like, do bad things happen only to those who are regarded as bad people? Christ answers this philosophical question by looking at the deaths of two sets of persons. One group had been the victims of the political atrocities of Governor Pilate. This group was regarded as bad people from Galilee. The second group of victims was killed accidentally. A tower fell on them. This group lived near to the religious capital, Jerusalem. So how come? Persons are often heard attempting to reconcile these matters. They ask, what about the people of Africa? Why must they suffer so much? The highest incidence of HIV/AIDS. There is starvation, genocide, social dislocations. While in other places, people also die, like in floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, gang warfare, political violence, and motor vehicle accidents. Innocent children as well as guilty persons die. How so? Is it fair? Where is God? Jesus explained that those people died not because of their level of sinfulness. However, he used the opportunity to warn his hearers that unless they turn from wrong lifestyles, they would suffer a similar fate. God's mercy is extended to all persons. It is God's mercy and not our own goodness, even where we are considered good people. None is good enough to deserve God's favor. So we must all be grateful to God for his benefits. To show real appreciation to God takes more than speculation. People are required to turn away from wrong living and to turn to God in sincerity. Jesus said this twice. Is that significant? Very soon, he himself would be killed, although he had done no wrong at all. Was this fair? How could God allow this? And his death would be at the hands of the political and religious hierarchy, as well as ordinary citizens. So he was not dealing with the issue in a mere academic, ivory tower, armchair manner, as most of us do. This was his reality. Further, he told his hearers that time was limited for people to get right with God. He told a parable about a fig tree. It looked good, but produced nothing. Its owner saw it as unprofitable and fit for destruction. However, a stay of execution was sought, another chance to produce the goods. Here, Christ knew these people were running out of time and that judgment was near. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but repentance, a complete turnaround in lifestyle, was necessary to avert the threat of execution and reconcile people to God's favor. In the following chapter of Luke's Gospel, our Lord talks extensively about his future kingdom. After all, it was to transact business on behalf of that kingdom that he was headed for Jerusalem and death. Here in chapter 13, verse 22 to chapter 14, verse 6, he tells about the joy of belonging to the company of those who were part of his kingdom. In spite of any present difficulties and deprivations, these persons had a real future, secure and assured. When asked about the number of persons to be saved, verses 22 to 29, he told his audience that knowing a number was of no value to them. Rather, being in the number was worth every bit of their attention and application. Why? Because to be left out, whether by carelessness or casual attitude or contempt for godly things, would be fatal and final. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom. Those who receive this message with humble obedience would be in, others would be out, period. Someone has remarked that on the final day, there'll be many surprises. Some persons who are expected to be there will not be there. Others will be there against the apparent run of play. When he was told about the threat of Herod Antipas, the ruler, Jesus showed he was neither weak nor scared. He could not be run out of town. Yet he showed how much he cared for his nation, a people steeped in spiritual rebellion, killing God's prophets and disgracing God's messengers, and even now were on the verge of rejecting the greatest of them all, their Messiah. Jesus lamented this fatal error on the part of his people. They would pay dearly for this. But then, persons in all ages who reject God's provision for their lives of necessity paid dearly for their rejection. So Christ continued to make overtures to his audience as he declared the kingdom by teaching and demonstrated its power by his healings. Further, he challenged them to be his disciples. A decision must be made and a price paid. We must decide. We will pay the cost or we will suffer the loss. One of the struggles which many persons face in Jamaica today, and especially our young people, is the cost of tertiary education. Even in the face of the policy of government that no student should be denied tertiary education because of the lack of money, many are, we understand, are still falling through the cracks, as they say. Others are doing all sorts of things to pay for their education. Why? What makes this so important? Some students suffer sleepless nights, lack of food and other basic necessities to secure an education. Yet they do it. Because they know that it costs, but it pays. They are hoping that armed with degrees, diplomas, or certificates, they will be accorded a good place in the work environment. Sometimes it is so, And unfortunately, at other times, it is not so. There are no guarantees, but people are willing to pay the price, financially and otherwise. How much more when people's eternal destiny is in the balance? We must be prepared to pay the price. It is guaranteed and worth every bit of our commitment. Perhaps one of the most telling portions of the book of Luke is chapter 15. Here, in response to criticism by the religious elite, that Jesus was fraternizing with notorious wrongdoers, despicable characters, and even eating with them, our Lord told three parables which summed up the heart of God the Father and the reason for the ministry of God the Son. We know these three parables. One, the farmer who lost one of his 100 sheep, a 1% loss, yet he left the 99 to search for the one. Having found the one, he brings it home, calls friends and family, and has a party. Similarly, a woman who lost one piece of her 10 coins, quite likely a wedding gift. This is a 10% loss, but she searches diligently for it until it is found. Then calling friends and neighbors, they rejoice together. In both cases, Jesus affirms that there is celebration in God's presence at the repentance of one sinner. This is mind-boggling, the kind of thing which is unthinkable, but God places value on one sinful person. Finally, the biggest loss of all, one son out of two, a 50% loss. The son, after faltering badly in his effort to have a great time, returns home. Broken, ashamed, and sad, his loving, anxious father receives him with open arms and restores him to the warmth, fellowship, and support and belonging of his home, once again with even greater rejoicing than the previous two cases. This my son was dead, but is now alive. He was lost, but now he is found. Let the music play. Let the food be spread. Let the joy be unconfined, without apology. God receives sinful people, loves them, seeks them, and welcomes them. Christ was willing to die to concretize that reality. We must now appropriate what his death has secured for us.
We trust that you have been blessed and challenged by this morning's message delivered by Reverend Renard White. For comment or counsel, our address is The Grace R, Box 123, Kingston 8. Here now are some important announcements. The Mineral Heights Missionary Church, located at the corner of Platinum Avenue and Nickel Close, Mineral Heights in Maypen, presents a big roof rebuilding concert. This will be held this afternoon at 5:30 at the church. All are invited. The First Missionary Church, located at 58 East Street in Kingston, invites you to attend their 2004 Christmas musical entitled Christmas is Jesus. This will be held on Sunday, December 26 at 6 in the evening. Thanks once again to the Hopewell Missionary Church, Zion Lane, Hanover, for sponsoring today's broadcast. Reverend Devon Madden and his congregation invite you to worship with them at their morning service at 10. The Grace Hour is brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm Nigel Wilkinson, wishing for you God's richest blessings for the coming week.